This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
When was the last time I took a road trip? How many national parks could I hit in 2 weeks? What about hotels? Wait, hey, Erica, how much am I spending on travel?
When your questions about life turn into questions about money, there's Erica, the virtual financial assistant to help you spend, save, and plan smarter. Only from Bank of America. What would you like the power to do? Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Your chat may be recorded and monitored for quality assurance. Message and data rates and additional terms may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is Terrio Media.
I'm not sure, but what you came for, to blow your smoke up your ass, seminars is next door. Line your chips up, man, just like Connect Four. Are you winning the one and yo, that's what we check for. I'm building piles of cash, create cash flow. Epic real estate investment to make your cash grow. Well, I can tell you ain't working smart at all. Tell people you work hard, you ain't working hard at all. Go deep with your investment before going wide. Too cold for you, yo, you need to go inside. It's not a money problem, it's an idea problem. Epic real estate investment, man, that we can solve them. Scared money don't make money. Passive income, cash flow, yo, how you create money. Savers and losers, open your eyes and see them. Matt Ferry, y'all creating your financial freedom. Yeah, yeah, we got the cash flow. Yeah, yeah, we got the cash flow. Yeah, yeah, we got the cash flow. You didn't know, homeboy, we got the cash flow.
Yeah, welcome to the Epic Real Estate Investing Show. Happy New Year to you. We've got a whole new look for the show, a new sound for the show. We've got a brand new intro song, in case you didn't notice. Big ups to my longtime friend, Michael Myers. Mike was an artist on my record label coming up, I don't know, probably more than 15 years ago now. And great to see that he's still making music and it's still hot. And, you know, he blessed me with this track. Got to be the first song written about creating streams of cash through real estate, I got to believe. But if you'd like, you can catch Mike on Instagram at MichaelMyers1. And while you're there, you can go ahead and catch us at Epic Real Estate, where we regularly post 60-second videos of motivation and tips to exit the rat race. Alrighty, so the Epic Intensive is coming up quickly at the end of this month. Fastest selling tickets ever for an intensive, as it's all about creating cash flow. That's the cash flow conclave. So if creating streams of income is important to you and you're not going, you need to figure it out. You got to get there. You have to get there. So go to epicintensive.com to grab your seat. Helping me with this training, going to be Mr. Jeff Garner, how to influence sellers and win deals, and Mr. Tim Berry on hacking the tax code and keeping the money that you make. And then for the very first time ever at an Epic Intensive, I've invited three different rock star students of mine to share with you their strategies of creating passive income through real estate. How Corey accelerates his equity buildup using other people's money, how Stuart maximizes his ROI with his buy and holds, and how Josh makes piles of cash and streams of cash with every single deal that he does. So you don't want to miss it. Go to epicintensive.com and grab your seat before they are gone. And speaking of creating streams of income, today I'm going to show you how to do just that, how to make bank like a bank, even if you're starting with no bank. Got it? Because, you know, I understand that you may be frustrated that you're running out of cash, or you're reaching your limits on your bank loans, you know, to buy and hold properties. And you may be frustrated that your cash flow it's not growing fast enough, not for your taste. And you may be frustrated that, you know, just dealing with tenants. I mean, you can have 10 properties, and in one of those properties, you may have one bad tenant, and your experience with that tenant, it ruins it for the other nine. Meaning you forget about how smoothly the other nine are working for you because this 10th tenant is such a pain. He's such a headache, or she's such a headache. So I get it. And your fear is that this is going to take a little longer than you anticipated. And it's going to hurt a little bit more than you anticipated. But when you get this part right, there'll be no limits to what you can do with regard to your access to money. There'll be no shortage of money to buy and hold properties. Your cash flow is going to grow faster. You'll have significantly fewer headaches, and your journey to financial freedom is going to accelerate significantly. So, you know, I've got a student who said I could share her story, but she wanted to remain anonymous, and because she's just not really ready to leave her day job quite yet and doesn't want her employer to find out that she is indeed leaving her day job before she's ready to reveal that great news to her employer. So we're going to keep it secret for a little while. We'll call her Kelly. And Kelly took to this strategy like a duck to water. I mean, she's completed 10 deals and has less than $10,000 of her own money into these properties. And she's cash flowing $6,000 a month. And she's done all of this in less than 2 years. She's going to do 10 more. That's what she's committed to do 10 more of these deals. And then she's done. She's done with her day job. And she's going to decide to travel. That's going to be about somewhere between $10,000 and $12,000 a month. She's going to go ahead and travel. And then she's just going to continue to build her portfolio, build on top of what she built when she's not traveling. And she's like, she was saying to me, why did I even go to college? Right? I've thought about that myself several times in my life. And, she said, I could have started doing this the second I graduated from high school and I'd been financially free 10 years ago. So that's what's possible. And it didn't take a giant marketing budget on her part. She didn't do 5 deals a month. She's not like massively productive and just doing gobs and gobs of deals. She's doing this on the side, but she's patient. She's persistent. And she just kind of waits for the right deals to come along. She's constantly looking for them. She delegates a few hours a day to her real estate business. And, she just kind of waits for the right opportunity to come along. And she, like I said, she did this entirely on the side and did one deal every other month or so. That's it. And boom, in 2 years, she's replaced her day job's income. And in 2 more years, she will have effectively doubled that income and then she'll be ready to quit. So that's her story. Let's talk about yours. How do you pull this off, right? So I've got 5 hot principles for you today. 1, going to give you the strategy overview, what being the bank and making bank like a bank is all about without having bank. And going to go over the source of funds that you can access. 3, identifying your customer. 4, finding your customer. And then 5, mitigating your risks and all the headaches. So over strategy overview, like what's this all about? How does she do this? How do you make bank like a bank? That's the strategy we're going to talk about. Source of funds, identifying your customer, finding your customer, and mitigating your risks and headaches. Of those 5, which one do you need the most to execute this strategy for yourself? Which one are you got your drooling over? Which one are you rubbing your palms together like, I'm ready for this, right? Maybe it's all 5. Let's give you the whole picture, okay? Let's start with 1, an overview of the strategy. So this is how it works. You find a house and you buy it, right? In the same manner you would with any other strategy. In the same manner that we've described on this show over the last 7+ years. That part doesn't change. Now, once you own the property, you resell the property by offering and providing seller financing. So you don't sell it outright. You provide seller financing and allow your buyer to buy it from you over time. So when you do this, you are no longer the owner of the property. You are the owner of the note on the property, just like a bank, right? Just like a bank may be the holder on one of your properties right now, maybe even your primary residence. You've got a mortgage, that bank is holding the note on your property. So you can do this. You can jump from being a landlord to being a bank. Now the new owner, in most cases, and I say most cases because realize with this strategy, it's up to you how you structure your seller financing because you are the bank, right? You get to receive loan applications. You get to decide who and how who gets approved and how they get approved because you're the bank, you're the boss. So back to what I was saying, in most cases, you're going to receive a down payment from the new owner and the new owner will then make monthly payments to you. And that's what there is to do. The new owner, they deal with the property taxes. The new owner deals with the maintenance and the tenants and everything else that comes along with owning a property. They are the owner of the property and all of the property owner responsibilities are theirs as well. And one of those responsibilities is to make payments to the bank. And that would be you. That's it. Simple, right? And you can make it even simpler by handing off the collections and the accounting of your payments that you receive. You can hand those off to a note servicing company. They'll take care of all that for you. And that's a pretty passive stream of income. So that's the strategy. Not saying you're not supposed to manage it. You're not supposed to watch it. You know, you certainly want to watch it and make sure that those payments are coming in. But that's about as much work as there is involved after you've completed this whole transaction. That's the strategy overview. All right, so number two, source of funds. The source of funds to buy the property in the first place up front, right? Again, not a whole lot different here than how you'd normally do it. I mean, you can do this with a conventional loan. You can do it with a private loan. You can do it with credit cards. You can do it with retirement funds. You can do it with cash. Or the cash, the funds, the credit cards, or the conventional loans of any of your family, friends, or associates, right? And you can execute this strategy with all of these methods of funding. And my favorite, though, method of funding is the seller. And this is how Kelly has done most of her deals. It's how she's completed most of her deals, is with seller financing place, using the seller to finance her purchases. And then she goes ahead and finances the purchase on top of that financing to a new buyer. So she's creating what's called arbitrage. She might have a $100,000 loan with the seller at 5%, and then she'll sell it to her new buyer, say for $120,000 at 7%. So she's got that gap. So she's collecting more than she's having to pay. And that's how she's been able to do this with the seller financing in place. But you can do it with any loan in place, all right? And even if you did all cash, it's still a really good return on your money. It's a good use of your money if you wanted to just put in all your own cash. You could always go in, and after you put in your cash, you could always refinance it out later. You could refinance it out with a private loan. You could let one of your friends or family associates look at that they're looking for a return. They can come in, and they can buy that loan from you. They can buy that note from you. Or they can buy the underlying cash you out. They could place a note on it for you. So then you could pull all of your money back out and go do it again. All right? So that's number two. Number three, identifying your customer. Identifying your customer. This is really important. You got to know your customer, and you got to know what they want. So, you know, there's different types of customers. And this is what I mean. Like, who's going to be your buyer? Is that going to be an investor customer, an investor buyer? One that's going to buy the property to fix it up and flip it. So in this case, what would they want? They'd want some equity in the deal, right? Right. So if they were going to fix and flip it, they want to make some money too once they flip it. So they're going to need some equity in the deal. Or your customer could be an investor, a buy and hold investor who wants to hold the property. They want to rent it out and they want to receive the cash flow. So in this case, what does your customer want? Your customer is going to likely be looking for some sort of decent cash on cash return. Another customer might be someone who's actually going to live in the property, a resident owner, which that would likely be what would be most important to them is probably the monthly payment. You know, most people, when looking for their own place to live, would rather own than rent if all things were equal. And I say most people. There's a lot of people out there that know they're just happy renting. They don't care. They don't want to own. But most people do. But they are, surprisingly, and I would have never thought this until I started doing this strategy myself, that I'd come across people that were not interested in that proposition. All right. So if you can structure financing terms that would provide a monthly payment similar to what they would pay in rent, that would be a good customer there, and a customer that's in abundance as well. So even though it's not everybody, there's a lot of them out there. You know, there's people that have had some credit challenges or whatever it may be and having difficulty jumping through all those hoops that the banks would require them to do, or don't have a credit score that would qualify, but they still want to own property. So there's a lot of those people out there, all right? So individually, that's what they'd all want. Like, they each want their own little thing. One wants equity, one wants cash flow, one wants a good payment, right? And what they all want, however, and I kind of touched on this already, which significantly contributes to the ease of this exit strategy, is the ease and simplicity of obtaining your financing. Meaning, there's no banks involved. And there's none of those hoops to jump through. They don't have to go ahead and get all these letters of explanation. that the banks are asking a lot for every single thing in your past. They're going to say, well, why is this? Why is that? Why is that? And you got to go find a letter for that. You got to get all your tax returns together. You got to prove that you got to pay your debts down. You got to do all kinds of stuff to get approved by the bank. And that's a big hassle. But a lot of people are attracted to these types of deals because they don't have to go through all of that that the banks require them to go through. So when you get a property under contract, this is what you want to do. You want to analyze the deal for each one of these wants by your customers, right? We've identified what they want. You want to analyze your deal to see if you can provide those wants for your customer. Does it have equity? Can it produce a cash on cash return? Can you finance it, creating a payment similar to what it would cost to rent? And once you've done that complete analysis and you know what your property is capable of offering to your customer, you'll know who your potential customers are. So in a nutshell, you have to be clear as to what it is that your customer wants and then confirm that your deal, that your property will provide it, right? So if you can make a match, the rest is pretty darn easy. Now you just have to find the customer, and that'll bring us to our fourth hot principle. Number four, finding your customer. And finding the customer here, it's very similar to how you find your sellers. Right? We look for problems and then we promote our solutions to the people with these problems. So finding your buyer customers is very similar. You want to look for people that are in the market for what you have. That's their problem. Finding a seller finance deal and that then promote your solution. That's the solution. Your seller finance property. You're going to promote that to them. So they're looking for something that they could finance through a seller so they could own their property. That's what you have. So now you want to promote that to those people. Now this is really, it's the easiest part of the process. It's become increasingly easier. And we are pretty much in a seller's market. So it's probably 10 times easier than it normally is. But if you haven't done so already, you're going to want to download the Epic Marketing Checklist. The Epic Marketing Checklist. And you do that at epicmarketingchecklist.com. epicmarketingchecklist.com, and just start at the top of that checklist like you would any other deal, and you just work your way down and just make sure in your marketing you're promoting what's in it for your customer. Remember, you got to focus on what they want, that you're going to promote the solution. For example, double digit cash on cash return, seller will carry, no banks involved. So that speaks to an investor owner. They get a double digit cash on cash return, the seller's going to carry, and I don't have to go through a bank, right? The financing is there. Or own for the same price as rent. Every deserving person with a small down payment will be approved, right? So there you're promoting to a resident owner. So you're saying, hey, own for the same price it would cost to rent. And then every deserving person, if you got a small down payment, you're gonna be approved, no banks involved. So simple equation, promote your solutions to the people with the problems your solution will solve. Now, one thing we're doing with tremendous results is we're using Facebook ads. We've heard a lot about Facebook ads. It's not new news, but boy, it works like crazy for this strategy. You know, with the type of targeting that you can do with a Facebook ad and for the amount of people that you can reach for just a few hundred dollars, I mean, even $100, it's pretty remarkable. I mean, we are definitely living in probably the greatest time ever to be alive when it comes to marketing to people. And for example, we ran a $100 ad in the zip code of where one of our seller finance properties were. And within 7 days, we reached more than 100 applicants on a $100 budget. You got that? In 7 days, we got 100 applicants with only $100. So now we've got this huge buyer's list for that zip code. So now what does that allow us to do? Or what does that empower us to do? Yeah, we focused a bigger portion. We carved out a bigger portion of our marketing budget to that zip code because we've got buyers lined up. So we don't even have to find that great of deal there for this type of strategy to work. And we can do really well for ourselves. So that's number four, right? Finding your buyer. And like I said, finding your buyer, it's all a matter of just getting exposure. Focus on the exposure that creates demand, and then the demand drives value. Go to get the Epic Marketing Checklist. That's going to give you maximum exposure, which is going to give you maximum value. Then just make sure in all of your promotions and your marketing that you're taking what's important to the person that you're looking for, and you're putting that in the headline, whether they want ROI, they want equity, or they want a low payment, and they don't want to deal with banks. Got it? So that's number four, how to find the customer. Number five, mitigating risks and headaches. So with this strategy, because you are the bank, you have all the security of a bank. Meaning, if your borrower or your buyer defaults, you can foreclose on the property, take it back, and sell it all over again, right? Collecting a new down payment and recasting your loan out however long you want to cast it out. If the property burns down, you get paid first, right? If same before, if it's a hurricane, a flood, or an earthquake, if any of that stuff demolishes the house, you get paid first as the loss payee on the owner's insurance. And since you're the bank, you can dictate what type of insurance your borrower has to carry. So you're not even paying for the insurance. Yes, well, you need earthquake, you need flood, you need hurricane, you need all acts of God covered under your policy. And they got to pay for it so that you're protected. All right? So you get to dictate that. And then the headaches are less too, because you're not dealing with repairs, you're not dealing with tenant issues, because that's all your borrower's responsibility. So this is an ideal strategy for your properties where you think your tenant pool might require a little bit more of your attention as a landlord, where you think you're in a neighborhood where, you know, these tenants here are going to, you know, they're going to be maybe cause me a little bit more effort than I'm willing to really put out. But this is a good deal. How do I make money on it? This could be that strategy of how you can put that together. All right. So if that's the case, sounds great so far. Like, what's wrong with this? Why not do this with all of the properties, you might be thinking? Well, there are many pros out there for this strategy that I've gone over. Like, you know, you get frequently bigger monthly cash flow, so it accelerates your exit out of the rat race. It's a more consistent cash flow, right? Because you're typically dealing with the owner of a property, not the tenant of a property, so fiscally more responsible in most cases. And then you don't have to deal with the tenants. You don't have to deal with repairs. And so those are all the good parts, but you do miss out on the other three profit centers of real estate. You know, you don't get to benefit from the appreciation. You kind of lock your appreciation in at the beginning, but if you're going to finance this over 20, 30 years, that property might be worth a whole lot more than what you actually sold it for, even though you made a good profit for yourself. You don't get the benefit of depreciation because you don't own the property, so you can't depreciate the property. And you don't get the amortization profit center either, which amortization actually works against you when you're the bank. So it's actually taking money from you in that case. And then additionally, you are not hedged against inflation, meaning if the value of the dollar drops, so does the value of the notes that you're carrying, right? And then should you be any sort of conspiracy theorist and you're thinking about the dollar potentially collapsing altogether, that would mean your notes would collapse as well. So there are some downsides. And the other negative part of this would be that the income from notes, it's taxed at a higher rate than the income from the rents that you'd receive if you maintained your landlord's status. So there are some pros and cons. The pros might outweigh the cons for you. Maybe. Because there's a lot of ifs in the cons, except for, I guess, the taxes. So what's the answer? You do both, right? You do both. Get with your CPA and figure out a good balance for yourself to where you can have the best of both worlds and where the pros and cons can, you know, kind of hedge against each other. And then, you know, speaking of this tax liability difference of a note holder, now that I'm saying this to you, the difference between the tax liability of a note holder and a landlord, that might have changed right now as we're in a new year with a new tax plan. I'm going to ask that question on tomorrow's episode of Tax Hacker Tuesday. And that episode is what the media isn't telling you about the new tax plan. And it's pretty significant. So you definitely want to tune in tomorrow. Okay, so that's tomorrow. And then I'll ask this question to our tax attorney, Tim, about how income from a note is taxed differently now than it was yesterday, being last year. All right, so let's recap. You buy a house, you resell it using terms, you collect a down payment and receive monthly payments. There's minimal risk, minimal headaches. And this is actually what I'm going to be covering at the Epic Intensive, among other cash flow strategies. But this one I'm going to go into detail on. And I'm going to walk through several different scenarios with regard to how to analyze properties like this for each potential customer. Go over the new strategies that we're using to easily find these types of customers. So if you're already trying the strategy a little bit and finding the right buyers is a challenge for you, you don't want to miss that. And also want to go over how to leverage other people's money to turn your returns into infinite returns. And then how to put this all together to really accelerate your exit of the rat race. So there's tickets still available at epicintensive.com. I'd love to see you in person. I'd love to work with you side by side in a live environment and just spend those 3 days together and share these strategies with you, put them inside of a plan for yourself, and shove you off into the world armed with a whole new set of tools in your toolbox to get everything that you got into real estate for in the first place, to actually make it work this time and make it real. All right, so epicintensive.com. All right, so that's it for today. Happy New Year. See you tomorrow for a very special edition of Tax Hacker Tuesday, what the media isn't telling you about the new tax plan. God bless. To your success. I'm Matt Terrio, living the dream.
Yo. Yeah, we got the cash flow. Yeah, we got the cash flow. Yeah, we got the cash flow. You didn't know, homeboy, we got the cash flow.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.